You see, you have to find the source. I will look at the first pasuk in Parashat Vayechi. Right, you see, it's the first, second, the third source on the page. It says, Vayechi Yaakov. That's last week's parasha, by the way. That's the connection. Vayechi Yaakov beres Mitzrayim Shvasvei Shana. That's what the pasuk says. Okay. Introduction to the parasha of Vayechi, which is the parasha that describes the death of Yaakov, the brachot, right? You remember, it was last week, not so long ago. Rashi says, Vayechi Yaakov. Rashi focuses on the word Vayechi, that there is something special about the life of Yaakov. Lama parasha zostuma. So I think we tried to explain that. You know, there's no break between the two parashiyot. Lama parasha zostuma, lefi shekivad sheneftal Yaakov avinu nistumu eneihem velibam shel Yisrael mitzarat ha-shiabud sheetchilu l'shabdam. So Rashi kind of, it's like a little strange. He's making a drosha on a word that's not in the pasuk. Like the word stuma. That's like, the word stuma leads me to an understanding. But the word stuma is not written in the Chumash, right? You understand. It's just a word that describes the reality. So why does stuma bring me to? Right, nistemu in the heavenly bam shel Yisrael mitzarat hashiabud. Nistema mitzarat hashiabud, which I think means it happened to them without thinking about it. They didn't notice it. Tzarat hashiabud. I mean, they must have noticed it eventually, but it didn't occur to them that that's what was going to happen. In any event, Rashi says, Davar Acher. You see the Rashi? Davar Acher. Now, Davar Acher, there's like, you know, you could talk for a long time on why Rashi brings two Perushim sometimes. Why there's a Davar Acher option. But we won't talk about that. But I just, you know, it's a reasonable question to ask. Like, why does Rashi do it? Especially in this case, where both of the Perushim are connected to each other in some way. You see, the Davar Acher says, "Bikeshli galota the case lebanav nistam imenu." It's another interpretation of stuma. Another interpretation of stuma, where it's not written in the pasuk. Okay, another pasuk, the next one. Bereishis perek mem tes pasuk aleph. Vayikra Yaakov abanav vayomer, hayasfu vagida lachem et asher yikra etchem b'acharit hayamim. Yaakov says, this is what I want to do. I want to tell you what's going to be. I mean, I don't know when acharit hayamim is, but whenever it is, Yaakov says, I want to tell you how this whole story is going to end, you know, like this. Like here you are in Goshen. That's certainly not where you're supposed to be. There's going to be slavery. I'd like to tell you what's going to be. So Rashi says, "Bikesh legalot et haketz v'nistalka shchina mimenu." I mean, I don't know if it's the same thing as we said before. "Bikesh legalot et haketz." That's the same thing that Moshe Rabbeinu, Yaakov wanted to tell them what was going to be. V'nistalka shchina mimenu v'itchil omer dvarim acherim. Itchil omer dvarim acherim. So he talked about Reuven and Shimon and Levi, dvarim acherim. But he got to Yehuda. If you remember from last week, got to Yehuda. He talked about the Mashiach. He talked about Malchut Beit David continuing forever. If you remember, that he said, the Rashi goes out of his way to say that Malchut Beit David includes Reishei Gola. Reishei Gola. In Bavel, there was like a kind of an administrative position called Reish Gola. And it happened that the first ones in Bavel were from the family of David HaMelech. So Rashi says, that's the case. David HaMelech, it'll continue forever. So I don't understand why Rashi wants to tell me, Bikesh Galot et HaKetz, V'nistalka Shechina Mimenu. But he did. He was Megale all kinds of Ketz. What Ketz didn't Yaakov Avinu reveal to his sons? What Ketz? So the Ketz that he didn't reveal to his sons is clear from the opening psukim in Parshat Shmot, which is on the top of the sheet. Right, first there's the list of the children of Yaakov. That's a separate problem. But if you look in Pasuk Vav says, "Vayamad Yosef v'kol echav v'kol hador ahu." They all died. Yosef died. The brothers died. Pasuk Zayin, Bnei Yisrael paru v'yishritzu v'yirbu v'yatzmu v'ma'od ma'od. That doesn't sound bad. V'atimalei ha'aretz otam. That's what it says, that Bnei Yisrael did very well. They're living in Eretz Goshen. Living in Eretz Goshen, they're producing a lot of children, which is one of the simanim of wealth. Vayirbu v'yatzmu v'ma'od ma'od v'timalei ha'aretz otam. Ha'aretz, we don't know what aretz, I guess they lived in Goshen. V'timalei ha'aretz otam. It is whatever you think. Pasuk chet, v'yakom melech hadash al Mitzrayim asher lo yadat Yosef. So here you understand. You understand. V'yakom melech hadash, look at the Rashi. It's like sort of to the left. Rabbi Shmuel chad amar chadash v'mash v'chad amar shenit chadshu gezerotav. So you know that Rabbi Shmuel, when they disagree about something which is called agadata, you know what agadata is? It's not a halacha, a story. They disagree about the story. Rashi quotes both of them. Rashi quotes both of them. For example, Vayita Eishel beber Sheva. Whether it's this kind of Eishel or that kind of Eishel, it's a machloket Rabbi Shmuel. So whatever there's a machloket Rabbi Shmuel about Agadata, Rashi always quotes both of them. Which Lashitato, well, Rashi, it makes sense because there's no way to be machriya, there's no need to be machriya to determine who is right or what is right. So whatever there's a machloket Rabbi Shmuel, they're both right. Rabbi is right, Shmuel is right. Everybody's right. So Rashi says, Melech Hadash, two opinions. Chadamar Hadash Vamash, Chadamar Shadit Chadesh Gzeirotav. So in other words, the Jews were living with Gzeirot in Mitzrayim, but it wasn't so terrible. I mean, they didn't run away. They could have run away, I think. After all, they're Paruva, Yerbuva, Shutsu. Bimaod Maod. Why did they run away? Because it wasn't so bad. You know how it is? You know how it is, right? You live in a place, and so the goyim beat up on the Jews a little bit. So the Jews say, okay, it's bad, but we're still getting good time on television. You know, like, the Jews are talking on television and explaining why how terrible it is, but you could put up with it, right? There's this kind of put up with it attitude. I don't remember it from Germany, but I heard that it was the same in Germany. Maybe it was. So Rashi says, Asher lo yada, asa atzmo keilu lo yada. So Rashi says that it's like that they really had a tenuous life in Egypt, even though they had a good life, but it was in part because of Yaakov, Yosef's power. Yosef was an extraordinarily powerful personality. And so the family of Yosef benefited from that. But when Yosef died, everything changed. Yosef died, everything changed. Another pasuk. Vayomer el amo. This is Paro. Hine am b'nei Yisrael rav atzum mimenu. He says, the new Paro comes and he says, hey, there's a lot of them. I mean, we didn't contract for this. When Yosef brought his father and his brothers to Eretz Yisrael, so there were 70 of them. I know you could fight about whether it's 69 or 70, but let's say 70. There were 70. 70 doesn't sound like a big deal. But they became a lot more than 70. And that was a problem that everybody could understand. Because nobody wants their culture to be invaded by a foreign culture. And according to Chazal, there were people learning Torah with Yaakov, first with Yaakov, then with Yosef, with his children, Yaakov with the children of Yosef. They were creating a culture within a culture, which usually, you know, I mean, I'm not a historian, but I like to think about history. And it doesn't seem to work out, right? The best times in the diaspora, that's outside of Eretz Yisrael, the best times usually lead to bad times. Because, you know, success is problematic. Success is problematic because if, like the Hasidish guys, they're right. They are right. If you wear funny clothes, it'll be a barrier between you and the culture that's out to get you. They're right. But if you wear funny clothes, it will encourage them to get you. You can't win here. You can't win. The only thing you can do is live in Eretz Yisrael, where nobody cares if you wear funny clothes. So, another pasuk. Hava nitchakma lo pen yerbeva yaki tekredu milchama benosav kamhu al sonenu. In other words, Paro says we have a problem. I can't just enslave them. I can't get up tomorrow morning and announce all the Jews in Goshen are slaves. They were free and now they're slaves. I can't do that. So what do I have to do? I have to ditchakma lo. I have to be clever about this. Pen yerbe, there'll be more and more of them, lest. Vayaki tekreda milchama, and then something will happen. There'll be some catastrophe of milchama. V'nosav kamo ason enu. V'nilcham banu v'alam min ha'aretz. So you see that Paro understood that enslaving Am Yisrael was a process. He couldn't do it in a day. Even though in theory at least, he was the strong guy, and B'nai Yisrael were the weak people, the Jews were weaker, no longer protected by Yosef. Nevertheless, Paro speaks to whoever he spoke to, and then the new Paro speaks to whoever he spoke to, and he said, we can't do it. We can't do it all at once. So if I were there, I would ask this question. Lama lo gila lahem et haketz? Besides which, Yaakov, the ketz, was already determined. Didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak to Avraham Avinu and tell Avraham Avinu, 400 years you'll be enslaved in Egypt, and then you'll get out? Isn't that a worthy ketz to pass on to B'nai Yisrael, to children and grandchildren? So the answer is that it's not. That you have to understand, or you have to agree, that slavery with a ketz is different than slavery without a ketz. And if it is true that B'nai Yisrael did not trust, I mean, this is what I think is correct, that B'nai Yisrael did not trust that the promise to Avram Avinu was still being enforced in heaven. Avram Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram Avinu 400 years, right? You'll be slaves in Egypt, in a foreign land, and after 400 years you'll get out. And the slavery was so bad that they were only there for 200 and some odd years. They couldn't take it, B'nai Yisrael. So they were not certain that the promise in its original form, which was that slavery leads to freedom, would be enforced. Bikesh the Galot Lemetaketz, Yaakov wanted to explain to them that they're going to go into a difficult time, it's going to be a bad patch, but they will be freed at the end. Yaakov again, because Avraham had to find that out, and then Yitzchak had the brachot repeated to him, and then Yaakov had the brachot repeated to him, and now again is the time for Yaakov to say, there's a catch. I will distalkami menu, because the freedom that is generated by slavery, which was a necessary prerequisite for Kabbalat HaTorah, you can all think about why that's true, that in order to understand that slavery to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the mitzvot of the Torah is something special, in order to get that message into your head, you have to be slaves. You have to find out what it means to be denied any kind of free will. Right? You don't have necessarily a bad life as a slave. You just don't have free will. And the guarantee in the Torah, at least according to the Rambam, I mean the Psukim seem to indicate it, is that we are free will creations. And the free will that we have is limited only by God's will. Only by God's will. And even that is not the case. So when Yaakov looked around, he wanted to do something for his children. He wanted to tell them something which would make life easier for them, which would make it more possible for them to live. And so he says, what I wanted to do is tell them that the slavery will definitely come to an end. Nistalkami menu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't nistalkami menu, or nistalkashchinami menu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you can't tell them that. You can't tell them again that it's going to come to an end, because that's a different kind of slavery. A slave who knows that he's going to be freed has a different attitude about slavery. He's not the same person. He's not the same person who is enslaved with the kind of hopelessness of slavery. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yaakov, that you can't tell them. You could tell them all kinds of things. There are things that are very far off in the future and that won't influence their understanding of reality particularly, and might make them feel a little bit better. But you can't tell them that the slavery is going to come to an end, because that kind of slavery is not preparatory. It does not produce the kind of people that can accept the Torah and be enslaved to it, to the Torah. So the first thing that I think we should mention, and this has, if you go through the parasha, because the parasha, I think it has ramifications, and it's worth a look. It's worth a look. You see, already from the time of Avram Avinu, it's another pasuk. If you look at the second source. So you know, there were two promises that were made to Avram Avinu, far off promises. One had to do with progeny, right? Big. You're going to be big. I think that promise has not yet been fulfilled, right? We're bigger than we might have been, but we're also not as big as we might really have been. So everybody, we all know that.
So you still hold out hope.
What?
So you still hold out hope that won't be fulfilled.
Hope, yeah. I don't know what is hope. Hope.
And you don't count.
Meken zachopnar. You know what I mean? Meken zachopnar.
Oh yeah.
You can fool yourself. Well, if it's only dependent on hope, even Avram, ve'amin b'Hashem ve'echshevel lo tzedaka. That's a powerful pasuk, right? Ve'amin b'Hashem ve'echshevel lo tzedaka. But that's about the promise of progeny. What about the other promise? Vayome lava ni Hashem asher tzeiticha mi'ukas din l'teit lecha et ha'aretz hazot l'rishta. There's another promise that has to do with Eretz Yisrael, and that comes after Hotzeiti. Hotzeiti, you know that word Hotzeiti? Hotzeiti Mukhastim is the same word that's used with the Yitziah from Mitzrayim. I mean, okay, it's not exactly the same, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, you know, there's a Hotzeiti that I promise you. I promise you Hotzeiti. But I promise you, did Avraham Avinu get the Aretz Lirishta? Okay, he bought Marata Machpelah, but maybe he got it, maybe he didn't get it. What does it mean? What does it say? Vayomer pasuk chet, vayomer Hashem Elokim bama eda ki irashena, bama eda ki irashena. What a depressing statement that Avraham Avinu said. I mean, yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, I'm giving it to you. Take it. You'll take it, or you'll get it. Avraham Avinu comes to Eretz Yisrael, goes to Shechem. It's a walk. He goes to Shechem, comes back to Beit El, comes to, you know, he's back and forth. Back and forth, he travels the land, he fights battles in Eretz Canaan. And he says, "Bamaida ki irashena." Everybody should know the Rashi, because it's a Rashi that creates a kind of world. It's a world view. How could Avraham Avinu say "Bamaida ki irashena"? How could Avraham Avinu say it? So look at the Rashi. Lefi pshuto, vayotzei oto achutza. I do a little bit. Hotzio me'alo lechutz lirot the kochavim. He took him outside to see the stars. Ulefi medrasho amalo tzei me'itstagninut shelcha she'aitav mazalo she'incha atid la'amid ben. So he says, you know, there were the magicians, the soothsayers. He said, "Incha atid la'amid ben Avram ein lo ben." Abel Abraham yesh lo ben. V'chein sarai lo teleid, Abel sarai teleid. Ani korei lachem shem acher. There was this problem that Avraham had with reality, according to Rashi. You know, people 100 years old, 90 years old, they generally don't have children. Davar acher. So there's a problem of mazalot, which we're not so interested in, but the Davar Acher. Rashi says in Pasuk Vav, I mean Bashem, Lo Sha'alo Ot Al Zot. He didn't ask for a sign that he would inherit the land. That's, I'm sorry, about progeny. Aval al yirushat ha'aretz sha'al lo ot va'amar lo bama'eda. Tell me that I'm going to inherit the land. Va'yachshevel lo tzedakah. Kodesh Baruch Hu, Rashi, who Kodesh Baruch Hu chashvel Avraham lizchut litzedakah al ha'emunah she'emin bo. Right, he had emunah about progeny, but when he came to the land of Canaan, He was not clear to him, to Avraham Avinu, that he would inherit it. Davar acheba ma'ida, lo sha'alo ot, ela amar lefanav hodienu beize zchut yitkaimu ba. What is zchut? What does the word zchut mean? What is the merit that I can speak about that'll make it certain that we inherit the land. In other words, progeny, Avraham Avinu didn't refer to, because Adam HaRishon received the bracha, and Noach received the bracha. Bruvu, it's like the normal, it's a normal life, a normal world. It itself is not a bracha. It could be that the amount of children is a bracha, but Avraham Avinu is not worried that that would be a suspension of having children, because that's part of the created world. That's part of the bracha that was given to Adam HaRishon and to Noach. However, for Eretz Canaan, for a piece of the earth, you need a schut. That's what Rashi says, or Rashi quotes. A piece of earth, you need a schut. Be'ezeh schut yitkaimu ba, amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'schut ha-korbanot. B'schut ha-korbanot. And what does that mean? Why b'schut ha-korbanot? The merit will come through giving sacrifice. Why doesn't the merit come through eating a matzah on Pesach? Okay, there are korbanot that are given daily. But what is the point? What is the point? B'schut ha-korbanot? So there is a Gemara. See the Gemara, Masechet Tanis, the bottom of the page? It says this. It quotes the Apostle, Vayom Hashem Elokim b'mei daki yoshena, Amar Avraham. Listen to this. This is like a great, I don't usually editorialize, but this is really a great Gemara.
Yeah.
I know we're living in a world of Daf Yomi, where there's no Gemara, there's only a Daf. But I'm from a different world. I'm from a different world. You people keep asking me if I did the daf today. I said, I don't know enough Gemara to do the daf. I get distracted all the time by the daf. The daf distracts me. I said, all these people are learning the daf yomi, they're not distracted by anything. They just plow. It's wonderful. Anyway, by Shenema Vayomer, Hashem Elokim Bamaydak Yidur Hashem, the Zavar Ravinu said, how do I know I'm going to inherit the land? I'm not asking you about children, but I'm asking you about inheritance. With inheritance you need schut. I don't know if I'm going to have schut, and I don't know if my children are going to have the schut. Omar Avraham Ribono Shalom Shem Yisrael Chot Eim Levonecha. This explanation. Maybe Bnei Yisrael will sin. Atal Selahem Kedor HaMabul Kedor HaFlaga. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have already proven to me that punishment is possible. Real punishment. Dor HaMabul Kedor HaFlaga. He says, Amar Leilav. He says, no, he says, if they sin, they're not going to get it. So if you can't guarantee it for my children, what's the point of me getting it? I mean, how am I going to get it? I don't have it. And you say, my children, if they sin, they're also not going to have it. He said, no, bring a korban. Bring a korban. That's what it says in the Chumash, in the continuation. Brit bein habitarim. So the Gemara says, Omar lefanav ribono shel olam. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered the question. The question was the schut that will enable Bnei Yisrael, the children, who will be born to inherit the land, the schut is the korbanot that they will give. So Avraham Avinu doesn't stop. He's a malif anav. Ribono shel olam tinach bizman shebeit hamikdash kayam bizman shein beit hamikdash kayam matei aleihem. So if there's no Beit HaMikdash, there's no Korbanot, there's no Schut, there's no Eretz Yisrael. So what are you giving me? Avraham Avinu. What do you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give to me if you can't guarantee that my children will hold on to the land? And we know from our experience that this is the truth. This is the truth. So Avraham Avinu says, he asks, Tidach bizman she Beit HaMikdash kayam, I understand, as long as the Beit HaMikdash exists, bizman she ain Beit HaMikdash kayam, matehe aleihem. So what about them? What about the children that are born to Jewish parents when there's no Beit HaMikdash? Amalo, kvar tikanti lehem seder korbanot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I put a lot of material about Korbanot in the Torah. It's full of psukim about the Torah. Bizman shekorim behem lefanai. When they read the words of Korbanot in the Torah, lefanai, ma'aleh ani aleihem kilu ikrivum lefanai. Kilu ikrivum lefanai. So this is where this strange idea comes from. And therefore, if they just read the psukim, and you know in psukim de Zimra, before psukim de Zimra, the sitter in the morning, all those pages that you skip, and you don't say, those pages that you skip are based on that gemara, on this gemara that we just learned. Because what is in those pages? We say we say Birkat HaTorah. We say other stuff also, but start from Birkat HaTorah. Yes? So usually when you make a bracha on a mitzvah, you have to do the mitzvah, right? You say, Achilat Matzah, you eat a matzah. Nitalat Lulav, you shake the lulav. But Birkat HaTorah is different. You don't have to learn Torah right away. But it's an entire day. Like you have a whole day. You make a bracha. You can have the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the people who made the siddur, they didn't trust us. They said, make a bracha, he's not gonna learn. So in the siddur, they put a little learning, right? A little chumash, a little mishnah, a little halacha, something from the sifra, about the Yud Gil Midos, so you could feel that you did it. That you did it. Who should really do it? The women who don't learn Torah, don't do Daf Yomi, if they don't. The women who do Daf Yomi, they're in the clear. But if you don't do Daf Yomi, you have to do that part of the Siddur, because it's very important. And that's based on this Gemara. It's based on this Gemara. Now you have here on the sheet, you see, if you turn the page to page 2, on the sheet it says, you see at the top it says, Sidur Tefillah Shacharis Seder HaKorbanot. This is what it says in many Sidurim, this next two lines. But it's usually printed very small. And I don't know, Rabbi Yaakov Emden maybe decided, whatever is a big print, we say. And whether it's a little print, we claim that our glasses don't work for that kind of little print. We don't say it. But tonight we're going to say it. Listen to what it says. Seder HaKorbanot, the first thing, it's a little print. Atahu Hashem Elokeinu Shektiru Avoteinu Lefanecha, Ektiru Avoteinu Ketoret. Right? The incense offering. Lefanecha Ketoret HaSamim. The incense made out of a lot of incenses. Bizman shebeit hamikdash haya kayam, kasher tziviti otam al yedei Moshe neviyech gadu b'Torah. That's what we say. We say we're saying the psukim about ketoret, the incense offering that was brought every day with the korban tamid in the morning and the evening. Then we say the pasuk, Then we read the pasuk. Why do we do that? Why was that chosen? Why was that material chosen to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? And why didn't we do something a little more convenient? Because in order to have a schut on Eretz Yisrael, you have to learn the psukim that are connected to psukim that are connected to korbanot. That's the deal. If you say the psukim that are connected to korbanot, then it's as though you involved yourself with this idea of korban, right? First the ktoret, then the korban tamid, etc. You involved yourself with all of that, and as a result, you install the merit of korbanot in your own personal world, and the schut of Eretz Yisrael is maintained. The schut of Eretz Yisrael is maintained. But if you would come and ask me, but what is the meaning of the idea? I understand that it says that in the Gemara. And I understand we want to do what the Gemara says we should do. Okay, we'll do it. But why is that the case? Why is it that if I learned the psukim, I did the mitzvah? Who ever heard of such a thing? Now this is connected, I think, to a question. This is connected to a question that you might have. And that is the punishment for whatever we did wrong is the destruction of the temple and exile. Right? And this goes on. The Gemara says that the reason that the Korban Tamid was given was in order to atone for the sins of Am Yisrael. The Korban Tamid in the morning for the sins of the evening, and the Korban Tamid in the afternoon for the sins of the afternoon. That's what the Gemara says. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to punish us by taking away the Beit HaMikdash, by taking away and saying, you can't do that anymore. You can't give a Korban Tamid. You can't give it in the morning, you can't give it in the evening, but you can only do things that come instead of the Korban. But we can't do the Korban. So what happened to the tshuva that was connected to the Korban? What? I understand that God could punish us, right? Believe me, in the Chumash there's a lot of material about the details of punishment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could certainly punish us. But how do we get back to it? How do we reclaim ourselves? We don't have an opportunity to do tshuva. I mean, like the Rambam says in Hilchot Tshuva, if you remember, the Rambam says, Ein lanu ela tshuva. All this other stuff in the Torah, which was necessary, somehow evaporated, and all we have left is tshuva. But why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu decide to do? They could have punished us in any way possible, left us in Eretz Yisrael, broken down part of the Beit HaMikdash, and demanded that we return to ourselves. But no, we were kicked out of the land and denied the schuyot of the korbanot. That seems to me a double indemnity. We're being punished, and then we're being punished by not being able to return to where we should be. So I just look at this, the Pritzadik. You see the Pritzadik? The Pritzadik is in Shemos. The Pritzadik had this issue. He said, Galut Bavel, this is in the middle of a section of the Pritzadik. Galut Bavel ayachana l'torah shebal peh, כמו שאמרו, הבאים ישש יעקב וגומר, אלו תלמידי חכמים שבבבל, שעושים ציצים וברכים לתורה, like, you know, make it fancy, ועל זה אמר הכתוב, מילאו פני תבל תנובה, שמשם נתפשט תורה לכל העולם. So the background to this statement in the Prit Tzaddik is that he wondered about the Talmud Bavli. He says he couldn't understand. He was thinking about it. But from my point of view, it's like he's saying, I can't understand how it could be that the main Torah that we learn is the Torah of the exile, of Bavel. And the Torah of Eretz Yisrael doesn't really match up to it, which I don't think means that you shouldn't learn it. But you see that the minhag is that, except for some, the Daf Yomi is the Daf Yomi of the Bavli, right? It's the 2700 Daf of the Babylonian Talmud. And the Babylonian Talmud is mostly in Bavel. It's true that a lot of the Eretz Yisrael Talmud is also in the Bavli Talmud. It's also true. But it's still mostly diaspora. He says, why diaspora? So, here it is. B'nei Yisrael are preparing. Shmot, v'era bo b'shalach Yisrael mishpot, and B'nei Yisrael are preparing to receive the Torah. And the preparation for receiving the Torah, as we have said previously, the preparation for receiving the Torah is avdut, not just incidental slavery, but essential slavery, a slavery that has no end, that doesn't allow you to think about freedom. That was the necessary prerequisite to receiving the Torah, that we have to say. That's the way that it goes. There was avdut, there was Torah. So the avdut must have prepared Bnei Yisrael for the Torah. Why? In what way does avdut, this kind of transition, going from one world to another world, from the world of slavery to the world of freedom, why is that so important for receiving the Torah? It seems to me that if you think for a moment about the Torah, you think about the Torah given on Har Sinai. Given Har Sinai. Where is Har Sinai? Nowhere. It's not any place. I remember after the Six-Day War. Do I remember that? Yeah, I remember after the Six-Day War. I'm that old. That people already wanted to go to Har Sinai. It was like they heard that in the Midbar Sinai, there's Har Sinai. They look at it, let's go. I remember that time where Rav Goren, Zichrono Livracha, he went and he took a group with him. You know, he was like, he was a very enthusiastic person. But then it was discovered that there were two Har Sinais. There's one in the north of Sinai, one in the south of Sinai. And you have these kinds of monks who are here and those kind of monks that are there. And so we lost interest. But it was the right thing to do. It was the right thing to do, because I say again, where is Har Sinai? It's nowhere. It's nowhere. And you know about nowhere? You can't get anything. You can't do anything. So even though the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu received at Har Sinai, I'm not talking about quantities or amount of mitzvot or Torah, but the Ramban says in the introduction to the Torah, the Ramban says that Moshe Rabbeinu also received all the mitzvot of the Torah. It was impossible for the Jews to do all the mitzvot in the Torah. In spite of what the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, the Baal HaTanya, you couldn't get a lulav, couldn't get an esrog. It's not the kind of thing that you get in a desert. They didn't have the wherewithal. They didn't know about when Moshe Rabbeinu taught them about tefillin. He said, go put on tefillin. They said, what's tefillin? What am I supposed to do? How do you make tefillin? How do you get parashiyot? How do you get 600,000 people? Okay, I don't know how many males they were, but let's say half of them or a third of them. Where do you get 200,000 pairs of tefillin? I mean, in other words, the Torah was given to Bnei Yisrael in a way which at that moment they could not fulfill the mitzvot of the Torah. So if they couldn't build them, do the korbanot either, because there was no mishkan, there was no place to give them the korbanot. I mean, so Bnei Yisrael had to receive the Torah. You know, you have to receive the Torah. It's like you buy an appliance. I mean, lahavdil. You buy an appliance. And then you get a fat book in the appliance, which is designed somehow to make it impossible for you to figure out how to work it. And you have to call up somebody who has the same thing and say, what do I do? But you know that's the reality. So you know that Bnei Yisrael are going to receive the Torah, but they're not going to know what to do with it until Moshe Rabbeinu sits down and explains it to them. So how did they receive it? How did they receive the Torah? It's like if somebody gives you a present. Somebody gives you a present, a book that you're really interested in, but in a Chinese translation. They could say in the yeshivish way, you say, did you get anything? Did he really give you something? You just got a half a kilo of Chinese. You can't read it, you can't learn it, you don't know what it is. So what did you get? You didn't get anything. You didn't get anything. Did they get the Torah? Did they get the Torah? So apparently, this idea that freedom is something of great significance, which comes out of slavery, this idea itself prepared Am Yisrael for receiving the higher level of Torah. Not just what to do with it, but what the intention of it is, how you could think about it, how you could come to conclusions about it. And that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Avraham Avinu in this Gemara in Tanis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Avraham Avinu, no, it's in the Korbanot, which is what? There's a lot of material in the Torah about Korbanot. The Korbanot are those elements of Torah that if you learn them seriously, you will learn them very seriously. They'll be the special Matan Torah, the Matan Torah that overrides your inability to do the mitzvot. Inability to do the mitzvot. Now, I know that this could make some people nervous. Don't be nervous. It's not worth it. So here you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to Avraham Avinu, if your children learn the psukim of Korbanot, they will be mekablei HaTorah in the same way that Am Yisrael was mekablei the Torah at Har Sinai. They will be worthy of freedom. And freedom means going to Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is the place where you can do more mitzvot. I mean, even the Rambam thinks that is true, even though the Rambam made his choices. Like, okay, have a good Shabbos.
So why can you read? What's the Pritzadik? What's the point with the Pritzadik?
The Pritzadik, a Bavel. That's why it could be in Bavel, because there's a higher level of Torah that is not connected to a place. But I think you need the place, because it's hard to get to that. Okay. Thank you, Ma.